You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What you need to know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. Less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Loud out. What do you got?
All right, guys. So, no surprise, right? 3-day weekend, 4th of July. Money's a little tight. You know, I was telling my parents, what were we going to do? Where are we going to go buy fireworks? And my dad's like, psh, ain't nobody got time to burn money. So I did some research and I saw a few places in LA County that you guys can go to that you can watch the fireworks for free. So I'm going to give you just quick ones in LA. So if you're like in the Cerritos area, before somebody corrects me, Cerritos High School is going to have a show at 9 p.m. Irwindale Park, 9 p.m. If you're like in Monrovia, Pasadena, we'll also have, I mean, the Rose Bowl, you got to pay. So there's that. There's a place in Long Beach, Queensway Bay, with a free view. And then you get to see like a beautiful skyline. I mean, that's pretty badass.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in Orange County, Buena Park in Knott's Berry Farm, again, you got to pay. But in Yorba Linda Middle School will have them at 9 p.m. Riverside, if you're in the Corona area, they're going to have a free viewing in Santana Park. In Riverside, in La Sierra Park, all of these are at 9 p.m. And in San Bernardino, in Upland, Holiday Rock Quarry, 9 p.m. And then Rancho Cucamonga in Lone Mart Field and Rancho Cucamonga Epicenter, 9 p.m. You guys can watch some free fireworks.
I don't understand the whole pay for fireworks thing. Explain that to me.
Well, like if you go to the Rose Bowl, you got to pay to get in. It's
right.
Not free.
Why would I want, yeah, why would I want to be in the Rose Bowl? I mean, why, I'd be out in the parking lot and watch the same fireworks show.
I mean, you probably got to pay to be at the parking lot.
Pay in the parking
too.
Lot, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, I'll be in the general vicinity, so I don't have to. I mean, come on, really? I got to pay to go watch
look,
the fireworks?
I'm going to be at the rooftop of my apartment complex this year because.
And you'll be able to see it all, the
I'm
whole city.
I'm going to see the whole city because I'm in downtown. But a lot of people don't got that cap, so I'm just saying, if you can't. Look, fireworks are expensive. I literally went outside of a store today just to kind of see how much they were. And, like, the little box that used to cost, like, $15, it was, like, $35. I'm like, dude,
inflation, bro.
Nobody has money to. I mean, I'm sure people are going to buy them, but I'm not spending $35 to burn money.
Hell no.
Hell no.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not spending money to go in to watch a fireworks show when there's all these free fireworks shows everywhere.
Right? I'm going to Disneyland. They're going to burn them.
They're in the air.
Right, that's what I'm saying. All you got to do is look up on 4th of July. Look up. There's fireworks.
Well, I've never heard of paying for.
Did she?
Yeah, I think
we lost.
Oh, I think we lost.
I've never heard of paying for.
No, I'm still. That's what I said. I said I've never heard of paying for fireworks.
Yeah, it is a thing. Like, in certain places, you do have to pay. It's like a paid admission because, you know, the fireworks are expensive. They have to have firefighters
there.
Well,
they do, like, a huge show.
Yeah, it's a huge show. It's not like the stuff that you see on the streets. Like, it's a huge show, and they need firefighters there, so they got to pay for that. So that's why they, you know, you got to pay to get in. But, I mean, there's a ton of free ones, too.
Yeah. That is what you need to know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. More spots, wing spots that people are shouting out in honor of International Wing Day. The Post Pizza in El Monte. What was the other one? Sorry, I'm trying to scroll down here. My bad. I had a bunch of... Oh, I'm in the wrong spot. It's in the community. Duh.
I'm thinking about getting wings. I'm thinking about getting wings tonight now. Now it's National Wing Day.
Vinny V says that their peanut butter wings here at Fire Wings. You can't have that, Laura. But he says that he thinks Lindsay would be all in on them. They look good.
I would totally eat them. They do look delicious.
They look. The picture he sent us does look good. So here's some more places. Garney Meat Market in Pasadena grills wings for you. Alondra's already said Bomb Chicken in Gardena.
Not Gardena. Is that a different place?
No, Gardena's the flower, as I mentioned earlier. Okay. Fat Burger wings, Casey says. Like Fat Burger. I don't know. I've never had their wings. I haven't actually been to Fat Burger in a long time, and there is one in the South Bay. But OB Bear in Koreatown. Kyochon Chicken in K-Town. Eat at Joe's in Huntington Beach. It's my weekly spot. Fire Wings just opened up in Fountain Valley. Check out SoCal Wings in Long Beach off Atlantic and PCH. Over Under Public House in Old Town Burbank, best wings. I dare you to eat their ghost pepper wings. Oh, Cappy, I think we got a dare for you.
Dude, I don't know, man. I've done these like hot wing eating things before.
Yeah.
I'll just tell you this, George. Here's my my threshold.
If we went to Burbank,
yeah,
would you do it? Would you try
one? I'd probably give it a try, but I'll just say this.
Yeah.
Just to give you an idea of where my threshold is.
Yeah.
I went to Chipotle today for lunch.
Okay.
You know, with my son. It was a nice little
afternoon. Laura calls it.
Chipotle.
Yeah.
What do you call it?
It's a joke. Chipotle.
What does that mean?
Chipotle.
Chipotle?
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. You went to Chipotle and what happened?
So I said to the guy, I go, all right, listen, I'll take the brown rice with the pinto beans, chicken. I like that little corn thing you got going on there. And then I'll take the red sauce topped with a little cheese and guac.
And you had the really spicy sauce.
Dude, I'm not joking when I tell you. It looked like I just got done running a marathon. Like the water, the sweat was dripping down the side of my head, off the back of my ears, down my neck. At one point, I felt like a bead of sweat go down the back of my pants. I mean, I was sweating like I was running a marathon because of the red sauce at Chipotle. So, George, if the red sauce at Chipotle is a 6.9 on a scale of 10, what do you think those wings are?
Oh, like a 15.
See, I'm not down with that, man. I mean, I like hot stuff. But
don't
like, even
be Mason.
If you, why? What is Mason? What's his
remember
deal?
When we went to Buffalo Wild Wings and he was like, I can eat the hottest one, blah, 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 blah. He had like a little tiny bite and he was like, I'm done. Me and Janice had like two or three.
Yeah, I'm not saying that. I'm not, you know, usually me, I'm like, I can do 50 push-ups, no problem. And then I don't, you know. I could hit 10 threes in a row, and then I done. I mean, yes, all the stupid confidence stuff I say. When it comes to eating super hot stuff, I'm not really bragging about that one. I'm out on that. How about you, George? Can you handle it?
No. I mean, I'll try it, but it will be a disaster. Yeah.
Bring extra underwear. That's all I'll tell you.
All right, let's get to this KG sound real quick, because Hooper's ex is very upset at us. He says, for Christ's sake, Ed Sedano and Scott Kaplan, get to the Lakers already. Okay, relax. We'll get there. It's a Friday, bro. Relax.
Holiday it is a Friday.
Weekend. Chill out, bro.
It's Friday.
Can I ask a question about the Lakers? Can I just ask one question?
Ask the question before I get to Kevin Garnett, or do you want to wait till after Kevin?
Just want to ask a quick question. Can someone explain to me how the Lakers were 22-1 in Vegas to win the championship next year? And they've all gone down to 10-1. Why are people putting money on the Lakers to win the championship next year?
Because every year a bunch of people go to Vegas because of the just how close it is in proximity, and they always bet the Lakers. That happens every year.
From 22-1
to
10-1?
No, it wasn't 22. It wasn't 22.
No, I'm telling you, that's what it was. It was 22-1. It's now down to 10-1. It was 22-1 at Caesars.
It's not 10. I have it at 12 right now. But no, it wasn't 22 either. It was like under, 15 or 16-1, and then it went down to 12.
All I'm telling you, George, is that ESPN.com has an article that says it's Caesars Sportsbook. It went from 22-1 to 10-1. So all I'm asking is this. What have the Lakers done that have made people bet on them?
I just told you what it is. It's the proximity.
It's just purely because people from L.A. go to Vegas.
Yes, all the time. And Vegas is also a huge Laker fan hub, too.
I get it. But, man, if I were a Laker fan that was like, hey, I really want to make a bet on this team.
Well, it's rare that they have those kind of odds, too. Right,
get it down to 10-1. I mean, 10-1, it's not. 10-1, I would never bet it.
Right.
22-1, you're like, all right, why not? I'll take a flyer.
Yeah.
Anyway, you were saying Kevin Garnett.
Let's hear what Kevin Garnett said about Anthony Davis.
What camera am I looking at? In this one? If I'm talking to AD right now, bro, get lost. Go to Hawaii somewhere. Straight up and down. When you come into camp better in shape than anybody and everybody. That's what you should be focused on. You should go for the MVP for the 2022-23 season. All Celtics fans going to hate me for saying that, but I'm your OG, and that's what I think. Feel me? I'm still Celtics for life, still C's for life, still Soda for life, still Brooklyn for life. But that's my OG advice to AD. If he not doing that, it's his turn to carry the torch. Bron and I carried this motherfucker for a whole decade and then some. It's the only reason he came to the Lakers, right?
Yep.
AD came to the Lakers to be an MVP and to take the torch from bro and carry it. Be real with yourself. Go in the lab and get your shit right. There's no way he's probably not top 10, top 5 in this game. Come on, man. That's all I'm going to say, because I'm going to start getting heat. I feel myself sweating already. Man, he could be so much better than what he is. And, yeah. You know, I don't know what's around him, but, yeah, I would love to be able to work with somebody like that. I can't wait to see Oh, man, I'm actually looking forward to that influence on him because he can be MVP of the league, man. He can be, he should be MVP of the league one time. He's that good.
All right, so that's Kevin Garnett on Showtime on his show KG Certified. And look, I mean, he's basically said the stuff you and I have talked about.
I actually loved what Kevin Garnett just said, and there were a few phrases that he used in there that I'm going to steal and start incorporating into my own language, like straight up and down all the time, something like that. He said, "I like that." Look, I love what he's selling. Hey, AD, you got to set a goal. The goal is I'm going to try to lead the Lakers to a championship, and I'm going to be so good, and I'm going to be so reliable, and I'm going to be there in every game that you know what. I'm going to be MVP of the league. My goal is championship and MVP. For me to be MVP, I got to play. I can't be hurt. I can't be sitting on the bench. I can't be street clothes Davis. I got to be Anthony Davis. I got to be AD. So, Kevin Garnett, you sell that to the young brother. I'm telling you right now, get that guy to Hawaii. Get him with his trainers. Get him with a dietitian. Get him with proper physical whatever people do.
Physical. Wait, what?
You know, physical stuff. You know.
Wait, Laura, can you cut that up for later? Because that is hysterical.
That was like, just one of those
you
flame
were like,
outs.
Cappy, you were rolling.
Yeah,
I mean,
and then I flamed
out.
You
were on fire. And then you just like, your wheels came off.
Right.
Like,
I couldn't get out like physical therapists. I was like, physical people things that athletes use? You know, therapist was a hard word to get to. I just couldn't get to it. I was on a roll. I'm with Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
Tell Anthony Davis, disappear. Set a goal. Do everything you can humanly do to accomplish the goal and come back and let everybody walk into the gym and go, oh, damn.
Do you remember when I said to you months ago, I said, if I were Anthony Davis, remember I told you the story that a Hall of Fame player told me, at the time we were talking about Joel Embiid, and I said, well, you know, why has Joel Embiid done a much better job of staying healthy? And he says, oh, his footwork is incredible now. And I said, well, what do you think of AD's problem is? And he goes, his footwork is not incredible. And I said, remember I said, he should go seek out Akeem or any of these guys that had incredible footwork. By the way, Rasheed Wallace, if he is on this staff, if, you know, I guess if that's locked in, he's one of those guys who had incredible footwork and obviously had the right attitude that you need to have, the toughness that you need to have. And KG literally just said he'd be willing to work with him. Like, those are the guys that AD should be seeking out. I don't know if Akeem still does that stuff because he's older now. But if Rasheed is on this staff, he should certainly seek his advice all the time. And if Kevin Garnett is willing to do it, he should absolutely do it.
How many guys have, like, been from a previous generation who have worked with a current generation? You know, I think of like Bill Walton seemed to always be coaching somebody, you know, and if Kevin Garnett wants to do that, because, you know, he was kind of a guy that always was training at UCLA in the summertime and, you know, was running all those games. If Kevin Garnett thinks he knows something that he can help Anthony Davis, if Anthony Davis would listen, which, by the way, I don't know if he would or not, because remember at the end of the season when everybody suggested, yo, you got to do everything different this offseason because you keep getting hurt. And Anthony Davis was like, no, I don't. Everything I'm doing is exactly right. It's just that these are strange, bizarre injuries. This is not because of my training. So I don't even know if Anthony Davis is open to suggestions, but I like what Kevin Garnett is selling.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what AD should do. Take those old guys and let them help you take your game to a different level. Like, I would do it. I'm sure you've done it. I've done it. I've sought out advice from people in this industry that I really, really admire and just go out and pick their brain occasionally. You know, I honestly, you know, I know we were joking about Kevin Harlan, but when I had dinner with Kevin Harlan those nights, there was one night we walked back from the restaurant to the hotel. It was like a 20-minute walk. And it was an incredible conversation both ways. Like, he was asking me a ton of stuff about me. I was picking his brain on a bunch of stuff. And that's what you should do, you know? If you're AD, you should pick the brain, not of Kevin Harlan, who's great, obviously, but different kind of great, of Kevin Garnett,
different
Rasheed
Kevin
Wallace, all the Akeem, all those guys. So,
yeah, I mean, how about, listen, you have access to guys, I'm sure, through the Lakers and through your own relationship. You want to talk to Shaq and go work with Shaq? Go ahead. You want to talk to Kareem and kind of pick his brain? Go for it. I mean, all these guys are accessible to you. Yeah. I love what Kevin Garnett says. Go disappear, set your goal to be MVP, do everything that it's going to take, and then come back and just show everybody that you can be the guy.
All right, speaking of being the guy, UCLA and USC are the guys now. They have led the way in the defections to the Big Ten. And I think there's a domino, there's more dominoes ready to fall, including some more potential Pac-10 teams, or Pac-12 teams, pardon me, leaving, and one big fish in college football. Let's see what the fallout is. We'll discuss it next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Crank it up, Laura.
Boots with the fur, like the whole club looking at her.
Go ahead, Cappy.
She hit the floor, she hit the floor. Shorty got low, 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 low. Yeah! You should see me jamming right now.
Oh, I can imagine it.
Yeah. I look like John Ireland was dancing yesterday. Did you see that? You guys laugh at me for my bad dancing. Did you see John Ireland in studio yesterday?
I did not. No, there was a video. I did not get a chance to actually watch it, though.
I think next year at the Mandy's, when they show off dance moves, that's one that's really going to make an impact. I'll tell you that. Mm. And so, we've already got a new beef of the year going between Bergman and Mason and Ireland.
Oh, I know. Well, we had another one. Oh, we had Lindsay and Emily as well before that. So there's, yeah. And then me and, like, their show.
Yeah, like George and everybody.
Yeah, and their show. Well, except Sliwa and Travis. I mean, Sliwa and Taylor. Robert Wilkins tweets in the community, the Sedano and Cap community, which you can become part of if you go to your Twitter. And look in the communities, and then in the search, type in Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust. Robert Wilkins, who is a loyal listener to the show, says if AD was going to step to the challenge that KG just presented, he already would have been talking to and working with those guys. I mean, in theory, you're right, but I mean, it's never too late to start.
Just love what Kevin Garnett says about this stuff. You know, like, dude, just go away. Don't let anybody know what kind of training you're doing.
Yeah.
Take your team, man. Take your chef. Take your trainer. Take your physician. I don't care. Take everybody that's on your staff. Work your body. Work your moves. Work your shot. Get a coach down there. Get other players to keep it quiet. Just go away. And when it's time for training camp, show up looking so good that everybody can go, damn, look at AD. He ain't playing games. He came in the best shape of his life. We've never seen him look like this.
Yeah. So Bilal tweets me and says, I recently saw Elijah on a YouTube video working with the Rockets rookie center. He's still on. Alperen Şengün, who people think can be the next Nikola Jokic, is the guy the Rockets drafted near the top of the draft last year when they drafted Jalen Green, obviously, number two, and then Şengün was also shortly thereafter. So I guess Akeem is still doing that stuff. But by the way, for non-Rockets players, Akeem, and it's not that AD doesn't have that kind of coin, but let's just say Akeem used to charge a hefty fee is what I would say.
Hey, by the way, you mentioned Jokic's name for a second, and I know we've been talking about all the rumors, and I know it's a lot juicier and it's a lot more dramatic to theorize where will KD go, where will Kyrie go, and the free agency drama is exciting. So we don't really talk about guys that re-sign with their teams.
Yeah, Jokic signed the richest contract in the NBA.
5 years, $270 million.
Yeah.
Think about that, everybody.
Good for
5
him.
Years, 270. You're paid over $50 million a year cuz you are one of the greatest basketball players on the planet. You make the top basketball player now makes over $50 million a year. Good for him is right. Oh man, you got to train your kids to be basketball players, everybody. I mean, I know the chances are 1 in 5 billion, you know.
Can be basketball players though.
You got to stretch your children, everybody. At night, you pull on their legs and you pull on their arms.
What are you talking about?
You try and get them to 7 feet tall. That's what you do.
Oh my God, what's wrong with you?
Seriously, I mean, I want my kid to grow up to make 5-year contracts at $270 million. $270 million.
I might get pregnant to have an NBA player. Damn it. That's a lot of money.
Well, sorry, Christian.
Christian's 6'2".
Yeah, but he ain't getting into the NBA at 6'2". There's not very many 6'2".
I mean,
guys.
I know, but you know, his family's tall. My family's tall. Maybe we can make a big, tall baby. I don't know.
Okay.
He got the hair game to be a baller.
Oh, you're funny.
He does have cool hair, that's for sure.
And he smells delicious.
Real quick, Cappy. So with UCLA and USC doing what they did yesterday and going to the Big Ten.
I love it.
So now everyone's wondering, well, what's the next domino to fall? So the speculation is, who's going to go with USC and UCLA? So there's talk about Oregon. There's talk about Washington. But, you know, it's funny because everyone's also talking about, like, well, what's Notre Dame going to do? But here's the thing about Notre Dame that people don't realize. Now, doesn't mean they can't get out of this, but currently, outside of football, they are an ACC member.
That's right.
So they would have to renounce their, I guess, association with the ACC and pay a hefty buyout to the ACC in that scenario. But people are speculating, should they join the Big Ten? Now, regionally, it makes sense because they're, you know, right there in Indiana. But
right. I mean, you've already got Indiana and Purdue and the rivalries against Michigan and Ohio State and USC. I mean, it would all make sense.
Yeah, so it does make sense. But there's only room for two more. Like, really, you're not going more than 16 teams in these super conferences.
Yeah, but you know what, George? I think about it like this.
And by the way, let me ask you this before you ask me if you think about it like this.
Yeah.
Let's just say Notre Dame is plausible, right? Like, they just, you know, let's say Notre Dame's like, sorry, ACC, I'll pay whatever fines, you know, tens of millions of dollars or whatever it is. I'll pay it. We want to go to the Big Ten. Then there's one spot left, let's say. Are you giving it to Oregon or are you giving it to Washington?
So there's a case to be made for Washington because of the Seattle TV market.
And his history.
There is a very solid history of college football tradition. And, you know, I mean, you got to go back to the 90s. DeMarco's probably listening today, but, you know, they did win the national championship.
They were in the playoff a couple of years ago.
Yeah, they in a cycle, they came back a few years ago. And they
with Chris Peterson. Yeah.
So Washington also fits the academic and university sort of setting. They're very comparable to me to Wisconsin, to a Penn State, Michigan, et cetera. So I think there's a case to be made for Washington. Oregon, though, you know what you get with Oregon. You get Nike. You know, and there's something to be said for that. But you see, George, I actually think that what you might see is if the number is 16, you might look at the rest of the conference and go, who do we no longer really need? Because if we wanted to add Oregon and we wanted to add Washington, you know, we'd also love to have Cal and Stanford, too. We'd love to own Northern California, Southern California, and the Pacific Northwest. So with Oregon, Washington, Cal, Stanford, USC, and UCLA, that the Big Ten, I mean, just took over the entire West Coast. So I just wonder if maybe there's a possibility that eventually they go, you know what? I don't know about Northwestern. I don't know about Indiana. I mean, I know there's basketball tradition there with Indiana. I don't know if we need Purdue. There's basketball tradition there, too. There's some football tradition.
Right.
But I'm still, if I were the Big Ten, I'd still be looking at Cal, Stanford, Oregon, and Washington.
Well, they're only going to add two more, though.
But might they delete some? I mean,
oh, you're saying get rid of some of those old.
Like, hey, we got some bottom feeders over here that aren't as sexy.
Maybe like Rutgers or someone like that. But
I mean, Rutgers and Maryland don't make sense, but they've got, theoretically, the New York and the D.C. TV markets. But listen, Notre Dame to the Big Ten, I like it. It makes a lot of sense. You know Notre Dame, though. Notre Dame has always been so arrogant that they have had to, that they get to pick and choose when they are a member of a conference and when they're not a member of a conference. And when it's football, it's all hands off. Because we've got the NBC deal and that's where we make money and we don't want to share that with anybody. And I really don't know what would happen to their NBC deal should they join a conference like the Big Ten. But regionally, it makes all the sense in the world. College football history and tradition makes a lot of sense. Yeah. But you know Notre Dame. They're so arrogant.
They are. That's why they're Notre Dame.
Yeah, I'm a Notre Dame hater.
I don't know if I'm a Notre Dame hater. I just, you know, whatever.
I'm just
fan.
A hater because, you know, I think in my college career, we played them five times. We lost all five times.
Really?
Yeah, and I mean, like, we were, like, you know, number five in the country and pulling into Notre Dame, and then, you know, the whole season falls apart after they smashed us.
Oh, yeah.
One year we had them, though, George. My freshman year we had these guys. We had them beat. We had a fumble going into the end zone. We had another fumble at the end of the first half in the end zone. We had the game tied at 17 in the second half. We had too many men on the field on a punt. And in a tie game, the next play, they broke the game open.
Did you miss any field goals?
No, I actually had a big night that night.
Really?
Yeah.
What's a big night?
I mean, I had two field goals that were pressure situations that
were,
you know, yeah, that were pretty good.
Is that what you think got you into the, Western Pennsylvania Jewish Sports Hall of Fame?
I am so appreciative that you just remembered the name of the Hall of Fame that I am in. And yes, George, I do think it was certain performances against schools like Notre Dame that make you a Western Pennsylvania Jewish Sports Hall of Famer.
Yeah. By the way, I'm reading here from our guy, John Wilner, who broke this story, that he believes that Washington and Oregon obviously would want to go with UCLA and USC, but he also wonders, does UCLA and USC even want them to go?
Why would they not?
He just doesn't. He thinks that. Now, again, I'm just kind of skimming through this. He believes that is, he doesn't want them recruiting against them still. Like, they want to get away from Oregon because of the Nike stuff and recruiting and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but I see, the thing is you could have Oregon, and I don't think Oregon poses quite the threat. And here's why, just for this reason. When you're USC, you can pretty much go anywhere you want to and recruit, or at least you have been able to. But you can, now all of a sudden, any kid that's Michigan, Ohio State, Notre Dame, all those kinds of Midwestern kind of schools, I mean, USC is going to be more visible to those kids in that part of the country than ever, ever before.
Oh, there's no question. Yeah.
And here's
yeah.
what's going to happen, George.
Yeah.
When Michigan
Quickly.
Is playing Michigan State and it's 12 degrees
yeah.
and Wisconsin goes to the Rose Bowl to play UCLA and it's 75 degrees, all those kids are going to be watching that game from back
east. Why am I going there? Yeah, exactly.
I think I'm going to go out there. I think I'm going to go to UCLA.
All right. Radio Tinder's coming up in 90 seconds. We'll get back to this, and I do want to get back to – I want to get into, like, the Western Conference makeup, which we didn't actually discuss, and just kind of where the Lakers fit in the Western Conference at the moment. So with all the moves and trades and free agent moves, et cetera. So, but Radio Tinder first, we'll do that. Oh, and we do have Dodger stuff. I want to get back to Dodgers Padres. So all that coming up in the last hour and change of the show. So stick around, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So I just saw the meme that you sent, the latest
the Brian Windhorst meme about the minions.
Yeah, about the minions.
Yeah. It's hilarious.
Oh, that's too funny. There are girl minions, but I digress. Oh yeah, so I'm super excited. Thank you, Christopher, taking it away now. By the way, people in the community say that they love the bit, so I guess I'll keep doing it until they're sick of it.
Yeah.
All right. So according to Team USA, the 2028 Summer Olympics in LA could host the game's first ever obstacle course style competition. That's a mouthful. But before becoming part of the Olympic event list, the obstacle discipline is being tested in Turkey this week. The obstacles will resemble courses like those in American Ninja Warrior, which is watched by millions of people in over 160 countries. The event is expected to replace Riding in Modern Pentathlon. It will feature athletes competing on an obstacle course of 10 obstacles up to approximately 100 meters long. Would you guys be interested in watching an obstacle course event in the Olympics? Swipe left or swipe right, Sedano?
No question. Swipe right. I would love to see that. Now, I don't think the traditionalists and the purists would love that, but I would love to see that because that to me is a pretty true test of athleticism, being able to maneuver around all those things.
Yeah, and you know, it's pretty cool is how America Ninja Warriors, which was, you know, created to be like a studio TV game thing, has turned into a really big cultural deal, right? I mean, shout out to my man Akbar Baja Biamila. Love that guy. Anyway, I'm with you, George.
Good job on the pronunciation. Most people don't nail it like you just did.
Crushed it. I feel like an obstacle course is a combination of like gymnastics and running and I don't know, all kinds of sports in one. I mean, you got to be a really, really great athlete to do that American Ninja Warrior stuff. I'd be in on this in Summer Games. I like it.
I'd totally watch it.
What's next?
So there are many different ways of remembering a loved one. And now preserving a dead relative's tattoos by turning them into art is one of them.
Okay.
So this company named Save My Ink Forever is a company in the U.S. that transforms a loved one's tattoo into a permanent piece of framed artwork so that it can be treasured forever. The process, this is so weird, different, I guess, it's been developed by this company, and it alters the chemical structure of the skin, allowing the tattoos to be preserved as if they are a canvas of art. Do you guys find this idea creepy? Swipe left or swipe right, Cappy.
So am I to understand that they remove the tattoo from the body, and then the actual
skin? They take the piece of skin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm out on that. I'm out on removing the skin. That's it. I'm out right there.
I do swipe right and think that it is creepy that someone is going to remove the skin from my loved one's body and be like, hey, you see this right here? See this on my wall? Remember dad, his right arm? Remember that tattoo that he had that looked like a blob of green ink? Because when he died, he was 90 years old and had been on his body for like 65 years. Right there in that frame right there. That's my dad's forearm right there. That does seem kind of creepy, doesn't it?
It is weird.
Yes.
Yeah, it's weird. I'm out. Left. See you.
I want to see what it looks like, but because there's no pictures, but it just sounds disturbing. I mean, I don't know. I get it. I kind of get it, I guess. It's like people do the thing with the ashes, right? And then the jewelry and stuff. I don't know.
But I'll tell you this. I'm one of these people that when I see somebody who's got a lot of really nice art on their body, I don't have any tattoos, so I'm fascinated by people who get them. And if you had your dad's forearm skin in a frame on a wall, I'd be like examining the hell out of it. Like, no way. They cut the skin off your dad's arm in the tattoo and you put it in a frame? It's gross to me, but I'd be really into it if it were somebody else.
All right.
That's all I'm
saying,
Lindsay. Do we lose Lindsay Baseball?
I think so.
Lindsay Baseball just bailed on us, huh?
Well, I don't think she bailed on us. She's working from home today.
I'll hear Comrex.
Yeah. All right. That is Radio Tinder each and every day at 5:30.
That happened. That just sort of ended quickly.
Yeah. Well, we usually do three. We did two. Radio Tinder is presented by our friends at Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala. Award-winning small batch premium sipping tequila made from the finest mature agaves. Available everywhere fine tequilas are sold. Visit their website, tequilamandala.com, and do what I do. Demand the extraordinary with Tequila Mandala. So real quick, I want to tell you this, Cappy.
Okay, I want to be told.
So we were talking about this earlier today. You actually brought this up, so I was very impressed, actually.
Tell me.
You brought up kind of the all the trades and moves and free agent moves that are going down right now in the Western Conference. Okay. And, you know, Phoenix is still there, right? The Grizzlies are getting better. They're young and up and coming. The Warriors are champs. Dallas, I don't know if they're better. But I don't think they're, I still think that they're one of the better teams. They're in the upper half of the Western Conference. Utah will fall out because I think they're going to trade Donovan Mitchell. Denver will be better because they'll get their two guys back in Murray and Porter Jr. The Timberwolves are going to be better. The Pelicans are going to be better. The Clippers are going to be better. Okay? So basically, I've just given you eight teams before I've even mentioned the Lakers that are going to be better. And by the way, Portland is also going to be better. They've made a lot of moves this offseason as well. So if I include the Lakers, that's already 10 teams. And it's why I feel like because of the strength of the Western Conference and because particularly there'll be a couple of teams coming back from injury, Denver and the Clippers, who were finalists in the last several years in the Western Conference, that it is imperative that the Lakers
make this Kyrie thing happen ASAP. And you know what? If you got to give up one of those damn picks, I wouldn't give up both. But if you got to give up one, do it. And here's the thing. My understanding is that one pick is probably on the table. They will probably draw the line at two. And that is just not a report, but just an educated guess, let's call it.
I cannot believe that we're talking about the Lakers being so desperate. And your point is well made, George, that there are teams that have had major injuries. You mentioned Denver. You mentioned the Clippers. Teams that were better than the Lakers last year. And the Lakers had LeBron for the vast majority of the season. And they had Russ for practically the whole season, a game or two here or there. And we all know about what happened with AD. But the point is that the Clippers didn't have Kawhi, and they still made it in to the play-in. And New Orleans was they're an improving young team. You mentioned Minnesota getting Rudy Gobert today. These are teams that are improving on paper for sure. The Lakers are so desperate that the only thing they can do is get a guy who we really, really, really don't know we can count on. If he decides he wants to play, and he really wants to play a full season. Well, but that's what I'm getting at. If you're telling me that the Lakers are this desperate, that there's no other option.
That's what I'm telling you.
It's either you get Kyrie Irving and he helps you compete, or you don't get Kyrie Irving and plan on being a 33-win team again next year.
Okay, you know what the other options are? Dave McMiniman just said it on television a little while ago. The Lakers' other targets, if they can't get Kyrie, Eric Gordon and Buddy Hield. Both nice players, but you know they're not elevating them to championship status.
I would love to see Buddy Hield. I thought it would have been a good idea last year. We all know it didn't happen. I'd love to see Buddy Hield on this team, but here's the thing. Let me ask you this. Let's say the Lakers get Kyrie, and I tell you that LeBron plays in 60 games, Kyrie plays in 45 games, and Anthony Davis plays in 40 games. What are the Lakers in that scenario? In other words, if LeBron's going to miss time because he's getting older and every year he seems to be getting nicked up, right, and missing time.
So how many games again did you say?
Well, let's just say LeBron plays 60. Let's say Anthony Davis plays 40. And let's say Kyrie plays 45.
Why is Anthony Davis playing 40?
Because I'm assuming that he's going to miss half the season with injury.
Okay, I don't think that's fair either. I don't think he's missing. I'll entertain your thing.
Well, how many did he miss this past year? How many games did Anthony Davis play him? Approximately, off the top of your head. I mean, nobody's going to hold you to it.
Off the top of my head. So.
Did he play in more than half the games last year, you think?
Probably.
Okay. So,
he played 40.
Okay, and then how about the previous year?
Well, previous year he played 36.
Okay. So
you think that after 2 years where he's coming off of injury, one where he didn't, you know, now he hasn't played since April. Like, you don't think that he's going to be ready to play the majority of the games?
I sure hope he is. But the last 2 years have made me think that he can't do it. So that's why earlier in the show when we were talking about what Kevin Garnett said, I'm all for that. Go away, get yourself right, come back in the best shape of your life, and have a goal of being the MVP of the league. I love what Kevin Garnett was saying. I hope that happens for Anthony Davis. I'm concerned that the last 2 years are what he is now, which is a half a season player. Gosh, I hope I'm wrong. Believe me, George, I'm not consumed with being right. I'd much rather be wrong.
Look, I think if all three of those guys are on this team and they play 60 to 65 games, they're a top six seed, and that's all you want. Just be out of the play-in, and you give yourself a puncher's chance at getting out of the West.
But the way you're saying it is they have no
They don't. They don't have another option.
They get
no.
Kyrie.
Yes. I did I stutter? They have no other option.
It's not that you stuttered. I'm not suggesting that you did. I'm just saying that that's it. It's either you get Kyrie,
mother bleeper,
or plan on being a 33 win team and not being even so much as in the.
They're not a 33 win team either. They're not that bad. What I'm saying is, if they stay status quo, okay, they're like a 45, 46 win team. That's a play-in team still in the West.
That assumes you say stay status quo. That assumes that Anthony Davis will play more than 40 games.
Yeah, if Anthony Davis plays a requisite amount of games, LeBron plays a requisite amount of games, and Russ plays a requisite amount of games, they're about a 45 to 48 win team.
Okay, the Nuggets won 48 games last year, and they were the sixth seed.
Right, but that's the high end of my projection based on what you have right now.
I'm trying to just process this, though. You understand what you're saying is their only shot is to get Kyrie, and I'm having a hard time with that because I'm thinking to myself, I don't know that I don't mean me personally. I mean we, the team, the players, the organization, the fan base. Can we really truly trust Kyrie Irving based on everything we've seen from him?
What is your other mother bleeping option?
Come on, there's gotta be something. Dude, come on.
What is your other option? All you keep saying is the same thing. Tell me what else is the option.
Kyrie Irving is the only option. That's it. You either get Kyrie or that's it.
Yes! 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 Yeah! Yeah! See!
That's terrible. That's annoying. That's terrible. That's terrible. If Kyrie Irving is your only option, pack it up. Come on. There's got to be other options out there. That's why they pay Rob Pelinka. That's why LeBron has put his guys in his team, in his locker room. What if they don't get him, George? If they don't get him, they got to still go out there and play. What are they going to do? Go, hey, we're not going to play this year because we didn't get Kyrie and he was our only chance?
Well, no. I mean, there's still something called the trade deadline. I mean, they have time until then to make a move.
Listen, all these NBA analysts on ESPN that keep saying he's going to force his way to the Lakers, whether it's this year or when he becomes a free agent, maybe that is the case. Maybe he will. If I'm the Lakers and I really interview him and look him eye to eye and think to myself, he's a changed guy. He's getting a second chance to play with LeBron. He's going to be truly committed to our team. If I could honestly believe that, I'm all for it. But I can't believe it.
Okay, well, then I don't trust him. Mediocrity and waste LeBron's, like, the end of his career. Cool.
Or get Kyrie and watch him decide he doesn't want to play.
Okay, well, Cap, you this is where you're at. This is where you're at, okay? It's not a great scenario, but I'm telling you, you have to pick the lesser of the worst scenarios. The lesser of the bad scenarios, that's what you got to pick. And the lesser of the bad scenarios is Kyrie Irving. And you know what? Despite all that, if he plays, and he's going to play a requisite amount of games, I'd be stunned after all the crap. He wants to get paid, Cap. So if he wants to get paid, he's going to have to play a requisite amount of games. Like, that's not that hard. I can't believe that you have to trust Kyrie. Well, he's got to get paid. So at the very least, his motivation is that. And we've seen that there's, despite him giving up some money, there's at least some motivation towards money because he opted in and didn't take the $6.5 million.
Was that supposed to be your impression of me when you went, I can't believe, trust Kyrie, I don't trust Kyrie.
Cappy, Eddie, that was, better.
That was your impression of me?
Bob Dylan.
Desperation, George Sedano. That's where we are.
Rap.
Greg says to rap, even though he's not on the show and he's at Disneyland at the Matterhorn, he's pissed off at Maison Ireland.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, yeah. You know who this is, right?
Come on, man. Come on.
Yeah, come on.
I'm old school like that.
Yeah. How old school? Don't Shazam it. How old school are you, damn it?
I don't have to Shazam anything.
Go ahead, then. Tell me what it is.
What? Tell you what is?
What this is.
Stalling. Oh,
this song right here?
Yes.
A little Tupac?
Yes, it is.
That's a shout out to my man, Steve Mason. Tupac.
Yeah. Mason's very fiery right now.
Oh, he was legitimately... seriously not playing radio. He was angry, pissed, and it was real today for Steve Mason. It was very real.
It's when real go getting, you know, keeping it real went wrong.
Yeah. And I got to say, for anybody that's just getting with us and you're like, well, what happened? What did I miss? Yesterday when Bergman was on the show and he was talking about how bad Mason and Ireland interviews are, and we were like, whoa, calm down here. I mean, come on, Bergie. He's like, well, they don't ask good questions anymore. And we're like, anymore? What do you mean? They used to ask great questions and they stopped asking questions. They've changed their questions. They don't ask the same ones.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, Steve Mason, and I would say John Ireland to a lesser degree, he wasn't as outwardly emotional about it, but I thought Ireland was like, dude, I'm done with Bergman.
Yeah, he was.
Poor Bergie is at Disneyland with his daughter, Riley. Shout out to Riley.
Yeah.
Trying to enjoy himself on the Matterhorn ride. And he's just getting all his hate.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of Twitter stuff, a lot of stuff. I mean,
send the guy some love for being candid, you know, for being, you know, open and honest.
And they didn't even talk about the fact that he said he likes our intro better than theirs.
Oh, we didn't even get to that. Mm-hmm. That is true. We should save that for Tuesday.
Yeah, you guys should.
Right. So, you know, George, that's what we'll pile on. Yeah, we'll pile on Tuesday. Yeah. Hey, guys, yeah.
Oh, by
we forgot
way,
to sell you.
Yeah. Yeah, we forgot this on Friday.
Have Briones here's play more. The intro.
Here's more of what he said about you guys that he doesn't like about you.
Just for that, for Tuesday. Oh, man, Lindsay, funny. Tell me the story about the Dodgers, how the guys can't throw peanuts anymore. What do we got here with this story?
Oh, this is great. I love this story. This is a great story.
No, Cappy, this is your story that you put
on. Oh, it's your
here.
Story, Cappy?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, then you tell me.
Yeah, so I was reading this story today in the LA Times about the guy who was the, like, famous peanut thrower guy. He's been in movies, and he's kind of become a famous guy because he throws peanuts at Dodger games. You know, his name is Roger Owens.
Right.
And apparently now the company that runs the concessions at Dodger Stadium has told him there's no more throwing bags of peanuts to fans.
Yeah. Levy. Yeah.
So, right. The company is called Levy. So when the reporters found out about this, it, rather than this guy Owen going to the newspaper and going, hey, I want to turn this into a whole big media thing. They're taking my act away from me. I've become famous after all these years of throwing the peanuts in the stands, and now they won't let me throw peanuts anymore. All he was saying is, dude, this is kind of sad. It's part of the fun, you know? Like, hey, you ready? Get ready. And then you catch it, and you're like, yeah, I caught it. I got that pass. It's touchdown from the peanut guy. You mean to tell me that we've become so incredibly unathletic and soft and worried about liability that if the peanut guy throws peanuts, you don't make the grab, it hits you in the face and you go, ow, you're going to sue the people who run the concessions at Dodger Stadium?
I mean, I think it's ridiculous, but we do live in a very litigious society. I don't think there's any question about that.
You can't throw a bag of peanuts at a ball game anymore.
Yeah.
Guy, poor guy, this poor guy Owens. You know what he says? Quote, I'm heartbroken about this. You're breaking the peanut guy's heart. This isn't his shell. This is his heart.
Oh, geez.
And you're breaking his pockets.
Come on. This is how this guy... Do you realize this guy's been a peanut-throwing concessionaire since, like, I mean, since all of us... Before all of us were born. Seriously.
So did something happen? Like, did somebody actually, like, sue them? Or are they just afraid of getting sued?
I think they're afraid of getting sued.
Yeah, here's the line. Levy Restaurants That's runs dumb. The concessions at Dodger Stadium. If fans asked why he could no longer pitch his peanuts, Owen said he was told by the Levy representatives to say the decision was made for the safety of the fans. That indeed is what the fans who have reached out to the Times said Owens had told them. So he's not angry about it. He's sad about it. Guy loves being a peanut vendor, and now the guy can't throw peanut bags. What is the worst injury that a human being could be on the receiving end of? If the peanut guy throws me the bag and I miss it and it hits me in the face, what's it going to do? Break my nose? Break my jaw? Knock teeth out of my face? Blind me? I don't know, guys. Come on. Hey, Levy. For real. Let the peanut guy throw the bag of peanuts, will you?
I feel like that's part of, like, going to a baseball game.
I mean, I think so. Terrible. The spokesperson from Levy would not respond to the requests by the person who was covering the story for the LA Times. Would not respond.
Oh, that's never good.
Nope.
Yeah, when you can't respond, that's never a good deal.
Well, so really what it comes down to is this. If you are someone who likes to go to Dodger games at Dodger Stadium, perhaps you're on your way there right now for tonight's game between the Padres and the Dodgers, game two of this series. If you really, really got a problem with it, you're going to have to get vocal about it. You can't just sit on your hands on this one. You know, if you want the peanut guy to throw you a pass, you're going to have to make your voices heard.
Yeah, I agree. So make it happen.
Can't throw peanuts at a Dodger game. Jeez, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. I can't decide. Are we that unathletic that we can't make the catch? Or are we that soft that we might get hurt and sue the Dodgers and sue this Levy restaurant company?
I mean, it's probably a little bit of both. But what I would add is that, you know, look, I want everyone to work. I don't want to take any money out of anybody's pocket. I also feel like for a bazillion years we were catching peanuts. It shouldn't really be that big a deal, to be honest with you. I mean, the guy has probably thrown more strikes than Blake Snell has, right?
Certainly this year.
Yeah. So
that is so funny to me. We cannot let the peanut guy who's been throwing peanuts since the 1960s, we can't let him. Why? Was there ever a major injury? Not that we know of. Why? Was there ever a lawsuit? Not that we're aware of. Then why can't he throw the peanuts? Because we're worried about what's going to happen. One litigious guy is going to miss the throw. It's going to hit him in the face. And the next thing you know, we're getting sued. Come on, really?
Cap, you should go undercover at and like see if he'll throw it. Be like, I swear, man, I won't sue you, and see if he does it.
And let it hit me in the face.
So
and
what
see
is
what
he
kind
supposed
of damage
to do? Is just to hand it to someone and they just pass it down to you?
I guess that's the new thing. You got to.
That's
not
fun.
Hand it. That's weak.
No.
That's weak sauce. Hey, Roger Owens, we're with you, buddy. Seriously. This guy's become famous because he was the peanut-throwing vendor at Dodger games. Guy's been in, like, all these different movies, TV series. They make mention today in the article, his wedding guests included the mayor of L.A.
Add this, because you already said the movie stuff, like, 5 minutes ago. So
yeah,
I'm curious
all I'm saying is he's got a lot to him. He's got a lot to his game. That's
all
I'm saying.
Well, what's the wedding guests? Stuff?
Well, he's become a famous guy. So they said the mayor of Los Angeles was invited to his wedding. Don
Eric
Sutton.
Garcetti?
I don't know if it was Eric Garcetti. I'm not sure. They say the mayor of L.A. was invited to his wedding. I mean, I didn't do a full investigation. I just read the article.
Oh. Okay.
Feel bad for this guy.
Yeah, I do, too. Let's find a way to make it work for him.
Taking his
Can
whole
we
act
start
away
a rally?
I'm going to have to do something, poor guy.
Yeah, let's start a rally. Let's figure it out. The community will activate. Community, figure out what we can do for this guy.
What
Roger.
Do you guys think? Should he be able to still throw the peanuts, or is this a safety issue and they got to shut him down?
Yeah.
Seems stupid to me.
It does seem pretty stupid. Yeah. All right, coming up next, UCLA, USC. We actually can get into the actual Dodgers and Padres. Actually, that's worth discussing as well, because there's more fallout from the college football stuff. And it is a couple of great national and international days that we've yet to bestow upon you. And we got one more hour to go. We're back in 2 minutes.